And again, we're doing a series on the book of Esther. Gio brought out that it's 10 chapters in the book of Esther. So we really only just touched the tip of the iceberg. We've just been in chapter 1 and 2. So hopefully this series will help us to glean more from the book of Esther. We're going to look at chapter 2 again today, and then we're going to keep teaching until we teach through the whole book of Esther. The whole purpose of the Bible is to learn and teach the whole Bible. Amen? Every word, every phase in the Bible has application to us today. The Old Testament, we saw that in the movie, was written to the Jews and as far as learning. The New Testament was written to the Gentiles, or written for us, and it's for us to grow. So all these stories that we have in the Bible, they're examples, admonition for us to grow on, to learn on. So we want to turn back to the book of Esther, chapter 2. And we want to continue to deal with the allegory. I share with you, when you study the Bible, you study types, you study allegories, and you study allegory. Esther is a type of wife, which is a type of the church. Again, when we study Xerxes or Ahasuerus, he's a type of really Jesus Christ as a type. And so we're studying that as we study this, the great scenes of the Christian life, the disposition that we talked about, dispensation. That's the way God dealt with the people at a certain time. He dealt with the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. He's dealing with the church in the New Testament. There was the age of law. We're in the age of what? Grace. So we want to see that as we study the book of Esther. Last Sunday, we talked about the call to be the queen and how she had to have certain characteristics. And I went over that particularly about she had to, first of all, be a woman. She had to be a woman to be a queen. She had to be a virgin, and then she had to be a wife. And then she couldn't be a woman that had low self-esteem. I talked about that, how we need to teach our daughters and our young girls that they need to hold their head up high. They need to learn. They need to go to school, get educated. They don't need to have low confidence, feel like they can't do anything. So we need to teach that to our kids. Paul, we studied in chapter 1 about Vashti. She's a type, again, I told you, the rebellious Israel. She had got divorced from her husband because she did not submit. Now, again, that submission has to do with position. He's the king, and the church is submitting to Jesus Christ. So, basically, it's a type, and we're going to study that today. But this morning, we're going to deal with, again, chapter 2, looking at Esther. You're in Esther chapter 2, say amen. Well, before we go there, I want you to look at a few verses. Since we're small in number, you can follow me there. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. We're going to do a little turning in the Bible today, so hopefully you bear with me. You can stay with me, because I think we need to be a Bible-believing church. 1 John chapter 5. Back of the Bible. When you get there, say amen. First John chapter 5, we're going to read verse 4 and 5. I'll read 4, you read 5. For whatsoever is born of God, that's us, or Esther, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Faith. So you have to have faith. That's what Esther had to overcome the situation she was in. Verse 5. So we're talking about an overcomer. We're talking about somebody that believed that Jesus Christ. Now, when you study the Old Testament, they're looking forward to the cross. Esther, the name of God is not there, but Esther had faith. She had faith in Jehovah. When you study that, she had faith in Mordecai. Mordecai is a picture of the Lord. And what happened, she followed him. And as she followed him, everything worked out in God's sovereign plan. Amen? Galatians chapter 6. I need you to stay with me in the Bible today. I think it's good that I build a background so you understand where we're going. Galatians chapter 6, Paul wrote to the church of Galatians. And again, it's going to tie in the book of Esther. When you get there, say amen. Galatians, I'll read 6, you read 7. Galatians 6, are you there? If you're not saved, wait. Now wait till you get there. Galatians 6:6 says, let him that is taught in the word, that's me teaching the word, communicating to him, that's you, that teaches in all good things. Verse 7. So we're looking at a principle of sowing and reaping. We're going to find out that Esther sowed the good things. She sowed to obedience. She sowed to honor. She sowed to discipline. She sowed to being a virgin. So, but it's the same principle today. If you sow good things, you're going to reap good things. Amen? If you sow bad things, you're going to reap bad things. So the principle is the same. Whatsoever you sow, you eat. Now turn to Ecclesiastes. Right in the middle of the Bible, chapter 7. And I'm just giving you a foundation before we get in the book of Esther so you can follow me. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. When you get there, say amen. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes is the book that Solomon wrote. And he wrote that book talking about it. There's nothing good under the sun. But again, but to honor God. So this is what he's talking about. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. You there? Verse 8. Read that with 1, 2, 3. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning there are, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. So what the Bible is saying, you need to wait to the end. Sometimes we want things to happen right immediately. But it's better is the end there are than the beginning. Remember the story of Job? If you look at Job's life from the beginning, you think, boy, he had it bad. But then you go all the way to the end, you'll find that God gave Job twice as what he had. Amen? We're walking in this Christian walk, and look like in the beginning, even in this church, look like it's just not anything going. But don't look at the beginning. You don't know what's going to happen in the end. So it's better, the Bible says, it's better in the end than at the beginning. Are y'all with me? So I want you to stay focused. Now let's turn to Esther. We'll get back to Esther. Before we get into chapter 2, I want to go back to chapter 1. I want to give you a backdrop of what's going on. Esther, chapter 1. You there? Say amen. I want you to look at verse 3. Esther, chapter 1. We'll look at verse 2. That in those days, when the king Ahasuerus, that's his name, but Xerxes was always his name, sat on the throne of his palace, which was in Shushan. We talked about that. It was down in, basically, in Persia. The palace, read verse 3. In the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and the princes of the province being before him. So a president served 4 years. So here it is. In his third year. So he's been the king 2 years, but in the third year, he made this feast. That's when he asked Vashti to come in, and she didn't come in. So y'all with me the third year? Now look at chapter 2, verse 16. Chapter 2, verse 16. Are you there? Say amen. See here, page is turning. Chapter 2, verse 16. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus unto his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebah, in the what? 7th year of his reign. So I want you to get the picture. It took her 4 years to get to the throne. In the third year, he had a party. In the third year, his wife didn't come in, and so he sent out a decree to find me another wife, to find me a virgin. So Esther had to go for a whole year. She had to go through all, we're going to talk about purification. And then for the next 3 years, she had to wait before she was selected. So sometime, we need to wait on the Lord. I want y'all to get this, because we don't get it. We wanted to have him yesterday. Abraham was 75 years old when God called him to the promise. But it was 25 years later before it came to pass. Y'all with me? Sometime, you got to wait. Moses was 40 years old when he saw a Egyptian messing with the Hebrew, and he killed him and hid him in the sand. And they said, who made you a ruler? So God sent him to the back of the desert for 40 more years. Are y'all with me? So Moses was 80 So sometime you got to wait on the Lord. Joseph was 17 years old when he wore the coat of colors and went down to tell his brothers about his daddy, and they put him in a pit, and he went to jail, got lied on, was called that he raped, but it took 13 years for him to be exalted. So I want you to get the picture here. Sometime we don't want to wait, but it takes time in the providence to handle God. So we're going to look at Esther, how it took her 4 years to the throne. Now let's turn to our story today, Esther chapter 2. We'll start at verse 10. I'll read verse 10, you read 11 till we get down to verse 20. We're going to read 10 verses today. Esther chapter 2, verse 10. Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. Verse 11. When we get it, it's Mordecai's pacing because it's taking a long time. He sent her down there 4 years later and nothing happened. So he's walking every day. Oh, what's going on with Esther? Oh, what's going on? Have they made a decision yet? Okay. Verse 12. Now when every maid term was come to go in to King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, so that was a year, according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purification accomplished, to wit, 6 months of oil and myrrh. So she had to be, again, pampered up, beautied up in oil and myrrh. And then 6 months with sweet odor. So perfume and makeup, all this for a whole year. She getting ready to go before the queen and with other things for the purification of the women. Verse 13. So she's in a beauty pageant. She's trying to be the queen. She's got all this stuff and whatever she desired. Give me some earrings or give me a bracelet. Give me some, you know, whatever. Fix my hair in curls or make some bangs. Whatever, she had to go. She got to get it together. Verse 14. In the evening she went in, and on the morning she returned into the second house of the women to the custom of Shamgar, the king's chamberlain, who's kept a concubine. Now, I'm getting a little ahead of my story, but I want y'all to understand, if you don't make queen, you become his second wife. So Esther had a choice. She either had to be the queen or she was going to be a concubine, just like Abraham had Hagar and he had. So she had a choice, but Mordecai didn't want her to be a concubine. He wanted her to be the queen. Are y'all listening to me? She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her and that she was called by name. Verse 15. Beauty pageant. So she's going out now to present herself to the king. And the king had, he was one of the guys that kept on. He said, look, you beautiful. You don't have to put on any extra makeup. You don't have to put on any false eyelashes. You beautiful. You normally beautiful, okay? Just go in your natural beauty. You ain't got to have all the glamour that people put on and fake fingernails and fake eyelashes. And you know, you're just gorgeous, okay? So he told her to go. So she went in with her natural beauty, okay? And look what, she obtained favor in the sight of all. So not only is the king looking for a wife, but he's got, here we go, some judges there. He got a court, and they looking at all these girls come in, and look, she obtained favor. They say, that's the one there, that's the beautiful one there, that's the one there. I don't know whether the way she walked or where she struck, but anyway, she had it together. Y'all with me? Verse 16. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus unto the king royal, in the 10th month, which is in the month Tebah, in the 7th year of his reign. Verse 17. Now here we get down to the brass and tacks. She obtained favor and grace. That we're going to look at you. You and me obtain favor and grace from the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it's a picture of us. And the king said, that's the one. Just like when God saved you, he said, that's the one. And he put the crown on her head. And by the way, when you get to heaven, you're going to get a crown. Now, y'all listen to me. Crown of righteousness. And instead of Vesta, Vesta again was the one that was rebellious. Verse 18. Then the king made a great feast unto all his princes. Now, he made a feast back on the third year. Now, it's the seventh year. He got a new wife. Now, he's making a second feast. But look at this feast. And his servant, even he named it after his wife. What? Esther's feast. And he made a release to the province and gave gifts according to the state of the king. Verse 19. Now, here's that cousin. He's still trying to figure out what's going on with y'all now. Esther, you've been there a long time, been going on 4 years. You done went through all the purification. You done got your hair all combed up and curled and got all the makeup and the perfume. But now she the queen. But look what happened in verse, going back to verse 20. Read verse 20 with me. Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him. Faithful, obedient to her daddy, obedient to her guardian. We're going to look at today the significance of putting the crown over her head. How Esther was faithful, how Esther was integrity, how Esther was diligent, disciplined, and she did everything that it took to put the crown on her head. It's a picture of the church. If we are faithful to the Lord, the Bible said, he that's faithful over a little thing, I will make you what? Rule over many. Jerry asked this question, where are the people? I said, Jerry, some people are 30%, some people are 60%, and some people are 100%. Let me tell you, we ought to be 100%. Be faithful. It's required and stood that a man or woman be found what? Faithful. Esther was faithful. I want to talk to you a little bit about how this crown signifies us as Christians. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for our study today. Lord, I know there's a lot of teaching, but teaching is what appeals to the will and it helps us to grow and to pick those nuggets and all those truths of the Word of God. Thank you for our Sunday school lesson that Jared taught today as we saw the promise. And we know all the promises of God are yes, amen. You made a promise to Abraham and it came to pass in spite of Abraham messing up. Thank you for our time of testimonies, our time of singing song praises. Thank you for our fellowship. Thank you for our covenant reading. Thank you for the announcement by my wife. Thank you for the offering. And Lord, I would like to say we've never missed a bill. We've been able to pay our rent. We've been able to pay, get all the functions done, the missionary, the Vacation Bible School. So thank you, Lord, for the funding that your people give. Thank you for the songs of the praise team. Now, Lord, it's time for the preaching, and I'm not sufficient in myself. So, Lord, we're going to do a lot of teaching and preaching today, but you have to clean me up. You have to use me for your honor and glory. So, Lord, I pray that you speak through me. You crown my head with wisdom, that you use me for a conduit and a vehicle to preach and teach the unadulterated word of God. And we'll be careful to give you all the honor and the praise. For the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Esther, type of the church. Ahasuerus, a type of Jesus Christ. We are married to Jesus. Amen. And you say, I'm a man, but I'm still married to Jesus. Just like a wife is married to a husband, I am his bride. Amen? Now, before we get started, I want to give you some definitions. I want you to understand the Bible. There's a term called a king harem. A harem, whatever, is a place where he have a lot of women. The king, you remember when Abraham went down to Egypt and Pharaoh was going to take Sarah and put him in his harem? And he did because Abraham said, she's my sister. But God said, you better get that man, but his wife back. And he gave it. So a harem was a picture of, and when we get it studied, you'll find out that Solomon, who messed up, even though he had all the wisdom in the world, had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Y'all remember the story? A harem, a king, many wives that he won. Now, if you study that out, and I know y'all ain't got time to study it out, but that means he slept with one every 3 years. Now, that's kind of sad, bro. But I'm just saying, that's pitiful. That's pitiful. But anyway, this is what happened. So that's a harem, okay? Then the word concubine. Well, what was a concubine? A concubine was a woman who sometime in Egypt, if a wife couldn't have children, same thing with Aaron said, he'd take a second wife. Are y'all listening to me? She wasn't really his wife. She was what the culture. Now, I want y'all to hear me well. The Bible supersedes the culture. The Bible trumps the culture. Today, polygamy or big having more than one wife is wrong, according to the word of God. Amen. Now in Utah, they still have it. Y'all know that, right? The Mormons got plenty of wives, and even the Muslims think they're supposed to have four wives. Let me tell you, none of that is biblical. But they try to use, well, you know, Abraham had more wives. Abraham wasn't following the dictates of the word of God. God allowed that, but God never did it. And then you have, again, what we call a mistress. A mistress, again, is somebody that, again, cut out on the man cut out on his wife. None of that is biblical. He shouldn't have had a concubine. He shouldn't have had a mistress, and he definitely shouldn't have had a harem. So we see that with Abraham. We see that with King Solomon. If Esther did not become the queen, she would be reduced to a concubine. That's all she would have been. She would have been in the king's court as just one of his second or third or fourth or fifth or sixth wives. So Mordecai was pacing. He was worried because Mordecai was the one that sent her up there. See, Mordecai was trusting that God would bless her. He sent her all the way up to Persia to go through the beauty contest. But his whole plan was that not only would she go through the beauty contest, she would become queen. That's his whole plan, amen? Not knowing that this was in God's plan, because God knew that later on you would have a man named Haman, we'll get into that later, who would want to annihilate the Jews. So God put Esther at the queen at such a time as this, amen? So we're going to look at 3 points today on what the crown signifies. Tony, you need to head to the back. Point number one, the crown signifies that this was an arrangement and orchestrated by God the Father for Esther to become queen. It was already in the mind of God. God had arranged this. It was sovereignty, the plan of God, okay? But also Esther had a free will. She had to choose to be. Her becoming queen is a picture of us, the church. How did you become a believer? By God's grace and by your choice. God was not lost. You did not find God. I want you to know that. God found you. Amen? The scripture says he came to seek and to save what? That which was lost. You weren't out looking for God. You weren't saying, I know Jerry said, I wish I had got it right a long time ago. Let me tell you, you weren't looking for God. God, and by the way, God is easily found, but we were not looking for God. God was looking for us. When you came to a knowledge of the Lord, he had been hunting and seeking and searching for you a long, long time. Now you say, why did it take so long? Everybody have a different roadmap. I don't know why it took me to be 30, because I'm like Jerry, I wish I could have got saved as a teenager. Well, maybe God knew in my future I wouldn't have been a faithful person. So he waited until I got 30 after I had seen a whole lot to save me. And what that did was that, what I think is, that confirmed me that I don't need to go back to the world. So a lot of time when a person gets saved young, they think they done missed the world because they never tasted the world. But because I was 30 like Jerry and they did some of everything, when I came to the Lord, God said, him that has been forgiven much will love much. Amen. So we love the Lord. So Esther became queen. Esther was again adopted. Esther was elected, sought after. She became basically the channel for God to use. God's infinite wisdom. His eyes saw Esther. His inner being yearned for Esther. His heart had compassion on Esther. And his arms pulled Esther into her. Same thing with us. God saw us. He saw my need. He saw your need. I say it like this. God looked through quarters of time and looked down in my family history and saw no salvation, saw no hope, saw no people. And God, through his providence, through his sovereign, reached all the way down and saved me. Amen? That's a blessing. You ought to be thankful God saved you. You ought to be thankful under a Bible-believing church. I think Sharon said it today. She can see how God is working on this church through the word of God. We ought to be thankful. Let me tell you, and I'm not boasting. There are a lot of churches that are just country club. People go to church, they don't learn nothing. They don't even get into the word of God. Matter of fact, they close the Bible. They don't even study it up. And then even if they get into the Bible, they don't exegete, they don't teach it. They don't teach the principle. They don't go back to the old and new. We ought to be grateful that we have the canon of the word of God and we can study it. Amen?
Thank the Lord for the Bible. Thank the Lord for the Bible. Mordecai was her stepfather, symbolic of the God the Father. I said it earlier today, most Afro-Americans grow up in step home. Now, that ain't God designed, but I can tell you right now, they was looking at how many children today have fathers not in action. Today, in the Afro-American community, we're almost 89% of fathers not in the home. That's sad. Isn't it sad? So we need to change it. We need to get back to it. But guess what? That does not thwart the plan of God. Even though Esther's daddy had died, God gave her another father named Mordecai. Amen? So God can still work. I grew up in a stepfather. Jesus had a stepfather. Did you not know it? Jesus didn't have a, God was his father, but Joseph took him as his own son and taught him a trade and taught him virtue. So let me tell you, don't give up on a child because they're a stepchild. God can still raise them up. Amen? Notes him. He taught Esther the right thing. He taught Esther godly principle. He taught Esther, listen to me well, he taught her the precept of the word of God. Not only did he go to church, he took Esther to church. Not only he took Esther to vacation Bible school, he took Esther to Sunday school. So let me tell you, that's why it's important that we take our children to church. Amen? Now when they get grown, they're on their own. But take them, like these two young granddaughters of mine, they need to be in church. They need to be taught the word of God. Like Jerry's granddaughter, my Jerry's grandson, we need to get in the word of God. We need to teach him. I kind of felt a little bit bad doing vacation Bible school because I was asking a lot of questions and our kids didn't know the books of the Bible. And I was saying, we need to get back to teaching our kids the books of the Bible. They need to know the books of the Bible. They need to know, I mean, not just know it intellectually, but they need to know it where they can make application in their everyday life. Amen? The Bible says in Exodus 20 and 12, honor your father and your mother. Esther honored her father. Matter of fact, Mordecai told her, don't tell nobody you're a Jew. And she was still, even with the queen, even with the crown on her head, she was still not telling people because she was honoring her daddy. Amen? He taught her discipline. He taught her how to wait. We talked about how she had to wait for intimacy. He taught her how to be a virgin. He taught her that. He taught her how to not bring up Jews because the Jews would look down on him. He taught all that. In Ephesians 1:5, it's saying that we, the church, have been predestined in Christ unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. So just like Esther was adopted in Mordecai's family, you've been adopted into the family of God. Amen? Mordecai walked every day before the court to know what Esther did and what should become of her. You know, that's a picture of us. You know, when your children are in your home and you send them to school, you want to make sure that everything is right at the school. You want to make sure they're getting the right teaching. You want to make sure nothing goes wrong. I think we heard in our Sunday school lesson today that Ishmael bullied Isaac. You remember that? You don't want your children to be bullied. So Mordecai was pacing every day. When we sent our children off to college, most of y'all can identify with that. I know Sharon and Charlotte and Jerry, when you send your children off to college, you want to make sure that they're not there just partying and having a good time, amen? You want to make sure that they're getting an education. So you're pacing, you're checking on them. How'd your grades come out? How'd you do? Did you study? Did you do that? So Mordecai was pacing every day trying to figure out what's going on with Esther. What we need to realize that once we put them in God's hand, we need to leave them alone, okay? Once they become an adult, let God work on. Now, it's okay to pace. Amen. It's okay to pace. But let God work things out. He was pacing for Esther. But he had to go on the fact that I put in her the principles of God. I put in her the things of God. Mordecai was impatient. He had already took a risk. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, the daughters of God. Not only to them, but even to believe on his name. So we have been adopted. We believed on the Lord, just like Esther was taught by the Lord. The Bible says in John 8:31, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. We are to continue going to church. Now, I said this to you 1,000 times.
When kids leave home, they go out of college, they quit going to church. I don't know why they do that. Church ought to still be in your life. Now, every now and then, you'll find some college students that are very spiritual, but it's very rare. But most of the time, they get to college, they quit going to church. Let me tell you, go to church while you're in college. Go to church when you get out of college. Go to church when you don't wait till you're 30 or 40 to start going back to church. Stay in the Word of God. Amen? Esther did all that. Go back to Esther chapter 2. I want you to see the last three words that are very important. Esther chapter 2, verse 17. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. The last three words said, instead of Vashti. So God, the king made Esther queen instead of Vashti. This is what happened to us. God chose us instead of the world. We are not rejected. We have been accepted in the beloved. We are adopted. We are elected. We are predestined. Remember that we ought to be Christians because we are chosen by him. The Bible says he first loved us. You didn't love God. God first loved you. Amen. So we ought to love God. Now, Christians ought to not be vacillating. 1 minute in church, the next minute in the world. 1 minute serving the Lord, the next minute. We ought to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is what? Not in vain. We need to learn how to. The problem with the church is you got so many people that claim to be members of the church, don't go to church. How are you going to be in a church and you don't go to church? This preacher said he was out. He was at the gym working out on an exercise bike. And he said two guys were talking. And he just overheard them talking. And one guy said, well, that's the preacher right there on the bike. He's riding the exercise bike. And he said, you need to go talk to him. He'll tell you how to be saved. And he said, so they came up to him. He had already heard them talking. And he said, the guy said, how do you be saved? He said, well, I can't save anybody, but Jesus Christ can save. He said, but what? Once you get saved, you need to go to church. And he said, the guy who told him that he was a preacher, he said, well, what church you go to? He said, I go to your church. He said, you go to my church? He said, I don't even know you. He said, yeah, because you don't come to church enough. You're a church member, but you don't come to church. What good is being a church member? I go to that church. You tell people you go to church, but then you don't ever, the preacher don't ever see you. So don't be a church member that don't come to church. He said, so you have a group of people that are church members that don't go to church. Then you have a group of people that go to church that are not church members. So we call them floaters. They go to this church this Sunday. They go to this church next Sunday. They go, and you say, well, what church you go? Well, I don't really have a church home. Well, what are you doing? I go to church, though. Well, you need a church home. Amen? So you don't need to be a church member that don't go to church. And you don't need to go to church and not be a member. So Mordecai taught Esther that she needed to be faithful. Hebrews 6:11 said, if they fall away, it's impossible to renew them. So when we talk people fall out of church, a lot of times they didn't never fall into church. A lot of times when people say they backslid, no, they're not backslid. They never front slid. They never got saved. Once you're saved forever. It's called eternal security. So when people say, I used to be saved, no, you ain't used to be anything. Now, you can used to be, like they say, you can used to be, but you can't used to be a Christian. A Christian, once you're a Christian, you're a Christian forever. Amen? Point number one. The arrangement of the crown, the sniff of the crown, was God arranged it and exalted Esther to be the queen. Point number two. Esther was truly loved by King Ahasuerus, just like the church is truly loved by Jesus Christ. The Bible says, back to verse 17, and the king loved Esther above all the women. Now, he shouldn't have had a bunch of women, but he did. But he loved Esther above all the women so that he put the royal crown on her head. So Esther was beloved. She obtained favor and grace in his sight. You and me obtain favor and grace. The word obtain means to acquire, to establish. We obtain favor in the sight of Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be loved? The queen loved Esther. Let's take a love test real quick. 1 to 10. Let me ask you a question. And you don't have to shout it out, just in your heart. Do you love your siblings, your sisters and brothers? Do you love them on a scale of 1 to 10? Well, what would that be? Do you love your sister on a scale of 1 to 10? Would it be a 10? Do you love your brothers on a scale of 1 to 10? I want you to answer that question. Do you love your children? Scale of 1 to 10. It should be a 10. Do you love your neighbor? Scale of 1 to 10. Do you love your church? Now, don't say you love your church. You don't come to church. So you need to love your church, a scale of 1 to 10. Now, here's a big one. This has been in the controversy today. Do you love this country, this flag? Or do you win a award and then throw it on the ground? Let me tell you, you need to learn how to honor. I love America. America got a lot of problems. America got a lot of problems, even in the White House. But that does not stop me from being loving my country. Amen. This is the greatest country on the face of the earth. I have the freedom. Y'all heard about socialism and capitalism. I have the freedom to be whatever I want to be. I have the freedom to worship. I have the freedom to go to church. There are places now where they have to hide to have worship served with the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to be grateful. Now, do you love your country? Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, you should have had 10 on all those. But most of the time, we don't measure up. We give people 5. I love my sister a 5. I love my wife a 5. I love my husband a 5. I love my neighbor a 5. You can be a 10 because the Bible says that Jesus Christ said in Philippians 4:13, I can what? Do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. So let me tell you, we need the Bible say, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, that love the Lord. You should love the Lord. He should be a 10 on your scale of loving because he loves you. Amen? Esther was loved by the queen. Esther was loved by the king. Love is something that is experienced. To say you love somebody and never do something for them, don't measure up. Love is measured by how it's felt. Do you feel love? There's a lot of people don't feel love. They don't feel nobody love you. Matter of fact, we're living in a society today where a lot of teenagers are giving up. We have a great teenage suicide today because they don't feel nobody love them. Now, again, y'all know about this, and I just preach it to you because I'm preaching to the choir. There's a lot of things that are confusing teenagers. One of them is today is sexual orientation. But love them anyway. Are you listening to me? No, don't hate nobody. Now, take the time to try to explain stuff to them, but love them. Do not hate people. Do not. We have a culture today that are hating people. We have a culture today. They say Christians, some of the most hateful people in the world. Now, they say Christians hate homosexuals. Let me tell you, don't hate the person. Don't hate the person. Love the person and try to win the person, okay? But hate their behavior, but love the person. Amen? So we need to learn how to do that. Love. The Bible is saying love. Love is something that's felt. Love is something. Esther was loved. Not only was she loved, she found favor. He set the crown on her. She now is sitting. Think about this. For 4 years, she's been going through a beauty pageant. So finally, she sits on the throne as the queen. Not only is she sitting on the throne, he takes the crown. We had some little bit of crown that we made right there for Esther. And puts on her head. That's a blessing, isn't it? She's now ruling and reigning as the queen. I want y'all to hear me well. A little servant girl. This is a servant girl who now has the authority to be the queen. Amen? The church will be given a white robe. When you get to heaven, God will give you a white robe. The white robe is a symbol of Christ's righteousness. The church will be given a golden crown. When you get to heaven, now I hope you don't lose your crown, but you're going to get a crown of salvation. Now you won't lose your salvation, but there's some other crowns that you can win. And a lot of Christians, the Bible say, when you get to heaven, you're going to either have two things. You're going to have wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stone. So I pray that you have gold, silver, and precious stone, because if you have wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to burn up. Everything that you sent up. Amen? The church is going to be given this. Romans 8:15 say, you have not received the spirit of bondage, but you have received the spirit of the Holy Spirit of adoption. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. The scripture say he owned the cattle, what? On 1,000 hills. I know what you're thinking. You say, well, I don't own anything. Let me tell you, rich in Christ. Matter of fact, did you know all the money that the wicked have belonged to the Lord? Everything. Now, I'm going to tell you about this preacher. Now, y'all can take this as a joke. But they said that some prostitutes and some drug dealers gave the preacher $10,000 to the church. And he said, "Give it to me. The devil had it long enough." Now, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. He should have rejected that. God don't need the devil money, okay? So even though God owned that money, I wouldn't take money from the drug dealers, and I wouldn't take money from a prostitute, because God wants the church to be built by his people, amen? It's built on the tithes and offerings. When Nehemiah was building the wall, they tried to help Nehemiah. Nehemiah said, "You have none in this part. This is God's wall and God's people." So it needs to be God. The church, 2 Timothy 2, say, "For we suffer, we shall reign with Christ." A lot of times we don't want to suffer. But I'm telling you, sometimes it takes a process to be exalted. Did y'all know how they come up with a pearl? It get in an oyster, a little grain of sand, get under its shell, and it begin to create an irritation. And then it builds up a film. And then it turns hard. And then over a process of time, it keloids over. And then after a period of time, it becomes a pearl. But it's an irritation to the oyster, amen? So to be a Christian, sometimes you have to be irritated by the world. Sometimes you have to be persecuted by the world. Sometimes you have to be ostracized by the world. But don't quit, because it took Esther a long 4 years. She could have said, "I'm tired of this pageant. I'm going home. I'm done. I done did all that, and y'all still ain't made a decision." But don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. It's worth the wait out, because God has a plan for your life, and it's going to be the best plan for you. Going to school, or even going to law school, or going to medical school, wherever you go, don't quit. God has a plan for your life. It may look bleak now, but under every cloud, there's a silver lining. Amen? Esther didn't quit. The risk. John, I told you about John 1:12, said, "But men receive him, to him gave he power to become the sons of God." So point number one, the arrangement or orchestrate of Esther being queen was God's sovereign plan. Point number two, Esther was loved, truly loved, above all the women in his concubine or in his harem. She was true to love that he set the crown on her throne, on her head. And the last point is, don't faint. Endure to the end. Don't grow weary in well-doing, for you will reap if you faint not. Remember, I told you about Abraham, 25 years. I told you about Moses, 40 years. I told you about Joseph, 13 years. But in Israel, when Joseph was dying, he said, "God will visit his people and bring you into the land. God's mercy will always be given to you and the Jews." Esther experienced God's mercy. You as a church will experience the mercy of God. Esther experienced God's justice and God's hope and God's glory. You as a church will experience God's justice. One day it's going to be equal opportunity for everybody. Now, everybody complained today about, "Well, you know, it's not equal opportunity, and the women ought to make the same as the men." And let me tell you, one day it's going to be all equal. I preached this last Sunday. A woman role and a man role is two different roles. So don't get that out of context. If a woman would do her role that God called her to do, if a man would do her role that God. But now when it comes to work, if they're doing the same job that the man do, they need the equal pay. Amen? I don't know if y'all know it or not. Serena and Venus that brought up that if the women go to the tournament and win, they ought to get the same check that the men win. And they changed it. In Wimbledon, when a woman wins the trophy, she get $3 million. When the man, he get $3 million. They made them equal. It used to be a little less than that, because y'all heard about the World Cup. The women don't make the same as the men. So they fighting that. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. It ought to be the same. If a woman go out and do the same thing that the man do, then they ought to get equal pay. Amen? Now, let me clean that up for you. But when you get into the home, the woman's role is still supposed to be submit to her husband. And that's where the women get all the context. She's the judge here. So when she come home, her husband is a mechanic. He can't tell me nothing. No, that ain't the way it works. Long as you under his roof, under his authority, you are to submit to him. Amen? Now, the women that I was teaching, the teenagers I was teaching asked me a question when we was talking about Esther. Vesta. Turn to Ephesians. This is the verse that most people skip over. Ephesians chapter 5. And since I'm teaching today, I want you to understand what this, the word submission means. Ephesians chapter 5, when you get that, say amen. Verse, I read 20 and you read 21. Ephesians chapter 5 says, give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another. So not only is the wife submitting to the husband submitting to the wife. It's a mutual thing. Now, God is talking about a spirit-filled wife and a spirit-filled husband. You ain't gonna submit to no thug. He needs to be somebody that's spirit-filled. The wife needs to be spirit-filled. Now again, in Peter, he says, if your husband's not saved, you need to win him by your lifestyle, not by your tongue, by your lifestyle, not by nagging him, but by serving him. There's a preacher friend of mine, he said he used to go out in clubs at night, and his wife used to be praying for him, and when he'd get home at 4 o'clock in the morning, he said she would have breakfast for him. She said, how did you enjoy your club tonight? She said, I want you to know I was praying for you. He said, you're praying for him? She said, I'm praying that God save you. And God saved him. And he realized now that her humble spirit, her seeking the Lord, is what brought him to a knowledge of salvation. Amen? Don't faint. Don't grow weary in well-doing. God remembered Esther. God remember you. Your suffering down here on earth, the Bible calls is light affliction. You might think you're going through a lot, but the Bible calls it light affliction to the glory that will be revealed. The Bible in Samuel says, them that honor me, I will honor him. God honored Esther because Esther honored him. Let me tell you, if you honor God now, he's going to honor you. If you serve God now, I already talked about, he that been faithful over a few things, come let me make you rule over many. God's not going to give you a big job or a big church till you be faithful over the little stuff. It's just like this church right here. Yeah, we could grow to 300, but we need to be faithful to the few that we have. And then when God give us, he already have built a pattern of faithfulness. Amen? I thank the Lord for you ladies and for you men, how you'll come together and how you serve and how you give your all. But let me tell you, God is taking note and God is writing that down, and you won't lose a reward. You won't use a cup of cold water because God will repay. You can't outgive God. You can't out. The Bible says more blessings to give than receive. Let me tell you, you keep on giving. I got news for you. God gonna give it back. The Bible talking your cup running over and shucking together. Let me tell you, God will bless you. Amen? Honor the Lord. The Bible also says, upon thy right hand, the queen had the crown. Esther honored the queen, the king. In return, he honored Esther. He honored her with an everlasting love. Paul said it like this. He said in Romans 1:15, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God to salvation, to everyone that believes. To the Jew first and all the way to the Greek. Let me tell you, don't be ashamed of the Lord. Don't be ashamed of serving God. Don't be ashamed of this church. Don't be ashamed of what we're doing, because we're doing it because we love the Lord. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the Lord. I'm not ashamed of this work. I'm not ashamed of what we're doing. I'm not ashamed of the things that we have. You know, we had some situation here, and God forgive me for I said it, but we had some situation here where some young people maybe had some issues, but that happens in school. That had my old, well, we had to fumigate the church and all that. Nevertheless, here, that's part of life, amen? We need to learn. Think about these people that go to Africa. Think about these people that go in the bush and they have to deal with water polluted. And they have to deal with this. And they're missionaries. But you know what? They never say a mumbling word. Now, again, because we've been trained, we got people here that know, yeah, we know how to do stuff. I know we had to clean up, we had to fumigate, we know that. But the bottom line is, thank the Lord for the souls of those children. Thank the Lord. It's not the children's fault.
Thank the Lord. Amen. We need to be grateful. I'm so grateful that God has allowed us to have a vacation Bible school, to train young people, to encourage them in the Word, to teach them the book of Esther. And I'm so grateful that I learned some truths in the book of Esther. I learned that it took her four years to become queen. So it's a blessing to study the Word of God. Amen. Christ, he said, if I'm not ashamed of them, Matthew 24, 13 say, he that endures to the end shall be saved. Now, I'm not talking about working for my salvation, but it's talking about working because I'm saved. Look, I was telling y'all how I went and found a picture of Esther. I just shared this with Sister Russell. I was at the store trying to get some little awards for you, and the owner of the store said, hey, I got this little garden basket. This little garden basket will work. I said, but I need a bunch. She said, I can give you all of them. So she gave them to me. I mean, for a little or nothing. So I said, you know, God orchestrated, because God knows that we love him. Amen. So he worked things out for his honor and glory. The Bible says we need to endure. The Bible says he loved us to the end. Jesus Christ is always going to be there. You don't got the word. He said, I will never leave. Nor what? You ain't got the word. Stop getting down in the dumps. God is with you. Even when it looked like you've been forsaken. Even when you by yourself. My wife was in Memphis, and I was staying at home by myself. And it looked like I was just at home by myself studying. But the Lord was with me. He said, I got you. I'm comforting you. I know Jerry was by himself till his sister moved in, right, Jerry? Now he got his granddad, his grandson. So look, God is with you. Long as you got your Bible, long as you got the word of prayer, you can call on the Lord. I think about Sister Russell and Sister Sharon. You got the Lord, amen? He's your comforter. He's your person that you can talk to. He's your person you can go to in the midnight hour. He's your person you can go through when trials are coming, when suffering comes, when things are going on in your family or going on in your job that you don't understand. Take it to the Lord. Amen? I know Sharon and Sister Russell was talking about their job situation. Let me tell you, God know how many bills you got. God know, and matter of fact, David said like this, I've been young and I've been old. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. Let me tell you, God gonna meet my need no matter what they is. Long as I trust him, he's gonna take care of me. I'm his child. If I'm his child, I can crawl on him. I can cry out to him, and he knows my need. And every now and then, my cup run over. Oh, y'all want me to preach a little bit. Every now and then, he give me more than I need. And I'd be so excited. I'd be saying, thank you, Lord. I didn't even know you was gonna do this for me. Thank you, Lord. One of my daughter's friend, she probably don't know it, sent her tithes to the church. And I said, you don't have to do that. She said, but I want to. And as I was in Vacation Bible School, I went out there and there was a check in the mailbox. And I said, no. So I have to call up and type and say, look, you don't have to, but this is what I want to do, Pastor Tim. So just for y'all information, I just want you to know every now and then, $500 show up. Every now and then, $600. Every now and then, somebody send money to the church because God had touched them. So it's by the goodness and the grace of the Lord. Amen? We need to thank the Lord. We need to thank the Lord. So we're like Esther. We have been chosen. We're like Esther. God is faithful. God has called us in his fellowship. God has given us his son. God is going to coronate us. That's going to be a crowning one day. One day we're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. One day Jesus is going to feed us. One day we're going to have communion all day. That song that I love to sing, I can't sing, but that song, I'm going to walk around heaven. And then it's going to be, every day going to be Sunday. And the Sabbath going to never come to an end. And that's going to be a glorious day. And I'm here to tell you, if we just stay in the fight, stay in the race, continue to do what God tells us to do. No matter, don't look to the left, don't look to the right. Even when the trials come, even when the suffering come, even when things that we don't understand, call on the Lord. Amen? Call on the Lord. Jerry said like this, pray now, pray in the future, and keep on praying. Let me tell you, there's some things that I don't understand. I'm a pastor. And you say, well, you know the Bible. Let me tell you, there's a lot of things that are happening in my family, in my life. I have no understanding. And so I have to get on my face and say, Lord, you know. Lord, I need your help. Lord, you're going to have to intervene. And then there's people doing things that shocked me. They used to didn't do things. One thing, I thought they were serving the Lord. Now they're gone totally awry. So I have to say, Lord, you know. And one day I'll just preach a little bit. One day I was going in the car and I was down thinking about why in the world all this mess going on? Why not? And it came on the radio, a preacher was talking. He said, think about what you're saying. He said, the person that's doing you wrong, they got to live with their own self. See, them people that are doing wrong, they know what they're doing. So why are you thinking about how could they do that and not be, think about this. They got to live with what they did, and they know they did it wrong. So Bible told me, said, stop worrying about them. They got to live with it. So you worried about them not doing right. They got to live with, and then they got the answer to an almighty God. Amen? They got an answer to God. Don't think they're going to get away with it. I think Jared said today, they ain't getting away with nothing. They think they're getting away with it. But one day, the Bible say God's going to put his feet on the neck of the devil. And he's going to put him in a place called Gehenna, in hell forever and ever. He's going to be tortured forever. And the same people who do you wrong, who do not see why they're doing it, they're going to have to give account. Because one day, the Bible say every knee going to bow. And every tongue going to confess what? That Jesus is alive. And the Bible say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that came up against me will be condemned. Let me tell you, when people lie on you, let them lie, because God going to condemn them. When people do you wrong, let them do you wrong, because God going to pay them back. Bible said it like this, vengeance is mine. I will repay, said the Lord. So stop trying to get even with people. When people do you wrong, just go on and say, praise the Lord. God going to work it out. Well, what about the judge? What about the judge may be crooked? The system may be crooked. Even the president and all that stuff may not be right. But God gonna work it out for his honor and his glory. And one day, I'm gonna be able to sit back and he gonna crown me and I'm gonna be his bride. Amen? So we have something to look forward to. Just like Esther looked forward to the throne, we can look forward to a millennial kingdom. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the day. Thank you, Father, we see Esther had to wait 4 years. Thank you for how we see that Esther was sovereignly chosen by God, orchestrated by God. Thank you for we see that Esther was loved by the king, which is a picture of Christ loving us. And thank you, we see that Esther persevered, Lord. So help us to stay in the race, Lord. Help us not to throw in the towel, not to give up. Even when it looked bleak, help us to trust you. The Bible, this wisest man said it like this, trust in the Lord in all thy heart, lead not in all thy understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So Lord, bless as we give the invitation, and we'll be kept to give you all the honor and the praise. In Jesus Christ's name I pray.